From the studios of KUSP in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Dane Ballard is my guest this week. He is a playwright, a sex, sexuality, and relationships coach, and a model and performer in adult video productions. He is currently at work on a new musical called The Grimaldis. Dane Ballard, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you very much, Gary. I appreciate it.
Now, you also told me you have a stage name, a model name.
Yes, in this business, people have a tendency to have a secondary name of one kind or another. I, as an activist, I have used my real name many times doing like adult film performances. But these days, if you're trying to track me down, you may find me instead of under the name Dane Ballard, you may find me under the name Bastion Darling, which is just a sort of a persona to use for certain types of film work.
Bastion Darling. Mm-hmm. And when you say activist, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I have, for over a decade, been really dedicated to trying to make the really the sex lives of all people better. And since there are, you know, a combination of people with sort of narrow ideas about human sexuality, and then also just some sort of cultural habits that we have that have not been particularly healthy for our attitudes around sex and sexuality, it takes some folks like me and other people who are out there just kind of trying to educate people better and to give them an opportunity to ask their questions and realize that many of the things that they enjoy doing or the things that are of interest to them, romantically or otherwise, are you know, pretty normal human things. And so as an activist, I look for opportunities to do that kind of thing, which could mean teaching classes and workshops on how to have better sex. It could be speaking at conferences and colleges, really any place where people are kind of primed to take kind of a fresh look at sex and sexuality and relationships.
How did you get involved, first of all, in making or appearing in adult entertainment, let's call it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I suspect if you had met me when I was in high school, you would have had no idea. just because I was so shy and I had what I think is pretty typical of a teenager, having sort of low self-esteem and concerned about body image and many things like that. And so it wasn't until I got a fair bit older, in my early 20s, that I had a girlfriend, Tina, and Tina and I, we had a really great intimate relationship together, but part of that was watching adult films together. And one of the things that we had always noticed is that if the chemistry between the people in a scene was really good, they seemed to really be enjoying one another and really having fun together, that it created a lot of extra excitement and energy for us. And then we, in turn, used that with each other. And we felt it really added to our sex life. And, you know, we had sort of joked about the fact that since we had such great chemistry, we might be fun to watch as well. And then we saw an ad in the back of a local weekly paper that was looking for couples to film in adult films. So I actually got my start in this business working with my actual romantic partner, doing films together.
Now, is she still your actual romantic partner?
Oh, no, that was many years ago now, though. Uh-huh. No, I am married, but she doesn't do adult film work, but is pretty supportive of my work, both activism-wise and doing adult film work. She's an accountant.
She's... Well, hopefully there's a lot of money to count. Now, the your wife, she has never been involved in adult films?
No.
She's just an accountant.
I think, like a lot of people, you know, she enjoys looking at it from time to time. And she's very open-minded and she's a very sex-positive human being herself. So when she met me and learned about my, you know, education and activist activities, that's all stuff that she's happy to support.
So you didn't have an awkward moment where you had to explain to her what you did for a living?
No, not really. You know, and I find that people are, if they have extended family members, strangers I meet on the train, people tend to be, they tend to respond with curiosity more than anything. I think the quickest path between me and my sex positive activism has been this conversation where somebody goes, oh, you were the first adult film performer I've ever had a chance to speak to. You seem so normal. Can I ask you questions? And a lot gets sorted out. A lot of people's misconceptions end up sort of melting away when they just have an opportunity to have a real conversation with somebody. So with my wife, it was the same way. When I told her about my work and my activism, she really was just curious, and it just started a great conversation that turned into a great relationship and a wonderful marriage.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, you've used this phrase sex positive a couple of times. Can you define that for us?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes people will approach sex education trying to describe sex positivity as being just the opposite of sex negativity. What we really mean is that over many years, there have been a lot of sort of really unhealthy, almost like a societal, almost institutional biases about sex and sexuality, ideas about what men do and don't do, what women do and don't do, a lot of shame that has been projected on otherwise very normal, healthy sexual interests that human beings have all the time. When you're somebody who is dedicated to being a sex-positive activist, what you're doing is you're deciding to be out there and to be a very vocal and visible proponent of this idea that sex is, in fact, done right, a positive thing, that it is integral to having a healthy life, having some sort of positive sexual expression. Now, this could be something that you enjoy completely by yourself. It could be that just the sort of self-love that you give yourself brings you a lot of joy and makes you happy. It could be with, you know, your partner, whether that be a life partner or just somebody who you like a whole bunch, or it could be, in some cases, for some people, multiple people. But it's to try and get away from this idea that culturally has just clung on, that sex is somehow inherently dirty or filthy or something that we should be ashamed of, when it is really, in fact, probably the most common thread that goes through all of humanity, that, you know, besides being born and dying, one thing is that we desire to be physically intimate with other people that we care about. So sex positivity is really all about approaching information and education with the idea that sex ultimately can be very positive, and that the goal should just be to remove the negative parts, not to treat the whole of the human sexual experience as something that somehow is dirty.
Well, I think that most people agree that they enjoy sex. However, when you talk about intimacy, how intimate can it be if there are cameras there and a director and a crew? I mean, I have no idea how many people are around when you're having sex on film, but isn't some of the intimacy lost there?
Oh, I think that's certainly true. Don't get me wrong, when you're doing work in adult films, part of it is performance. So it is adult film work is a visual medium. So you end up doing a lot of things that are visually stimulating, that sound interesting, but we know that the person watching at home can't feel what is happening, and they can't smell what is happening, and they can't taste what is happening. So we have to try to sort of share this, what would normally be a multisensory experience, with just the couple of senses that we can, you know, use over the internet or, you know, over DVD or what have you. So we end up having to make, in essence, sort of a creative choice to sometimes choose, like, sexual acts or positions or what have you that are maybe not what we would choose if we didn't have to worry about whether or not the people at home could see what we're doing. So to some degree, the fact that there are practical issues with trying to create an erotic moment for someone else to enjoy that force us to do things that may not be totally optimal if we were just trying to please each other and not trying to share that with someone else. But to speak to your comment about having other people in the room, one thing that I think is interesting is that if you are having a good scene, if you are in a scene playing with another person that you have good chemistry with, somebody that you've met and you like, very quickly, as you start interacting with each other, all the other people in the room just kind of melt away. And I think that experience is not that different from what a lot of actors and theater or in films will tell you that once you actually get into that moment, the fact that there's all these little people bustling around, you know, in the background, that all just kind of falls into the, you know, into the background, and you don't even notice them anymore. So it can be more intimate on set than you would think. That is, if the people who are involved are really enjoying one another's company and enjoy working together. You know, there are romances that have blossomed, you know, on the set, or you know, great friendships that have been struck just because people really enjoyed working together and they had an amazing moment together. And so afterwards, they decided to continue hanging out and getting to know each other, and you know, and that's how relationships begin oftentimes.
We're talking with Dane Ballard, and he is a performer in adult films, and he's also a coach of sexuality and relationships, and he's also a playwright, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Have you ever had to do a scene with somebody that you just didn't like very much?
I have. There are some people in this business who can really kind of engage in sexual intercourse with really anyone, and give
you're one
much,
of those people.
I am not one of those people.
Oh, okay.
I'm sort of in awe that some people can do that and give basically the same performance every time. I can't do that. I cannot, and maybe in part that's because of that relationship that my partner and I had initially with erotic films, is that the chemistry between the people was really important. So ideally for me, I want to try to get to know the person that I'm going to be in a scene with. So there's in this business, there's not a lot of opportunity for that. We oftentimes have an hour or two before a shoot where we're hanging out in the same space, and so if we choose to engage with each other, we can kind of get to know each other a little bit. When I have the opportunity to, I like to actually go out for coffee or meet up with somebody for lunch that I'm going to be working with the following day so that I can get to know them better, because I've discovered over the years that the more I know about them, the more likely it is we're going to have a really good scene together. If I find out that we have something in common, I'm a huge fan of science fiction and fantasy, so I find out that they're into Tolkien or Star Wars, and I'm immediately more endeared to them. I'm immediately more interested in showing them a good time as we work together. But even if it's somebody that I find maybe a little annoying, even that is something that I can use, because it's a dynamic between us to play with, and we could have a scene that maybe is maybe a little more teasing back and forth because we're trying to get a rise out of each other. But it's difficult for me as a performer to have interesting play with somebody that I'm ambivalent about, because I have no sense of who they are. You can sometimes pick that stuff up as you go along, but I find that arousal is so much in the head that if I can get to know a little bit of someone's personality beforehand, then that's what makes me want to have a good scene with them when we have our clothes off. So I've been fortunate to oftentimes get that chance to get to know somebody at least a little bit before we're expected to have an intimate scene together, and I think the scenes are better because of it.
Do you work exclusively in heterosexual scenes?
I do. I wouldn't be entirely opposed to working in a homosexual or bisexual scene. There's a lot of men in this business that sort of affectionately refer to themselves as heteroflexible, just meaning that they're, you know, that their primary interest is in people of the opposite sex, but that they are comfortable with other men and wouldn't be uncomfortable with another man touching them or something like that. But my personal interest is in women, and so I think the chemistry on the screen would be better if I was playing with another person who just happened to be the opposite gender that I am.
Do you think that porn exploits women, or does it exploit the male consumers of pornography and their desires and needs?
Well, I think there's a lot of things there. So I should start off by saying that if you talk to anyone in this business, all of them will have some story for you about some company or producer or performer that they think is not doing things the way that they should. So any adult film performer that doesn't say that there is porn that can be exploitive or that there aren't, you know, people being taken advantage of in this business, I have trouble taking them seriously, because those of us in the business, we're keenly aware of the fact that that happens, because to us it is a big deal when some when we think that people are, you know, being treated in a way that they shouldn't be treated, or that people are taking sort of cavalierly the health of the people that they work with. And so, of course, in any business, whenever part of an organization's goal is to make money, then just like in the oil industry, in the lumber industry, in any corporation, there's going to be these points at which a company is going to have an opportunity to decide, do we want to do this thing that we think would make us more money, or do we not want to do that because the ramifications of that, the unintended consequences of that are something that we don't want to be a part of. So I think it's something that as somebody who performs in adult films myself, I spend a lot of time picking and choosing who I would and would not work with based on sort of the ethics and the types of messages that that company puts out into the world. So there are definitely companies that they could not pay me enough money to be in one of their scenes, producers that couldn't pay me enough money to be in one of their scenes because I don't like the way that they treat people, whether they be women or men, or I feel that they are sort of propagating these ideas that I consider to be sex negative, ideas that I don't think porn is like any other, cinematic art form. You know, it's an opportunity to share narratives, to tell stories, to like recreate sort of fantasies, and you can use that narrative, that opportunity, to sort of reinforce really negative ideas, or to potentially sort of open people's eyes to other opportunities and sort of challenge their misconceptions. And it sounds lofty, but even in the simplest of sex scenes, you are telling people at home a lot about how to treat other human beings with what you show them in that scene between two people that are having sex together. So there are definitely companies that, in the work they do, it is widely thought of as being feminist pornography or sex-positive pornography. There are companies that are known for being sort of, you know, paragons of not just running their business in a good way, but treating the contractors that work for them, the models that are in the scenes, because most models are independent contractors, treating them with respect. And those companies frequently are the most successful ones financially. This is somewhat anecdotal, but in my experience, every story that I know of some company really doing wrong by its performers, or really kind of propagating these messages that are really super negative and that I have trouble justifying, they tend to be smaller companies that are trying to get away with things here and there. But this the adult film business is too small of a community for a big company, to treat people poorly and get away with it, because all of us talk amongst one another through social media and other and at conventions and things like that. So it's hard for the bad apples to not be identified. And I can tell you, in the adult film business, we dislike the bad apples as much as anyone else does.
But even those companies that have ethical practices, business practices, mm-hmm. Don't they occasionally use images in which women are degraded?
I think it is difficult sometimes, I think, to appreciate an image like that if you don't know any people who enjoy playing with some of the themes of dominance and submission that regular people play with all the time. I, for example, have dated in my private life people not affiliated in the adult film work in any way whatsoever. I have dated people that wanted to be spanked, or that they thought it was kind of exciting, exhilarating, if you sort of held them down while you were having sex together. These are not people that wanted somebody to treat them with disrespect, but this sort of the restraint that I put on them gave them something to push back against, and they enjoyed that. Now, that I'm not wired that way necessarily. Like, holding me down does not add an extra level of arousal to me, but I do listen to people when they tell me, this is something that kind of gets my motor running, or this is something that I actually find to be kind of sexy. And your fantasies are different than what you want to see in the real world. Your fantasies are made up of really all the things that happen in this world, the really positive things and some of the negative things. And so all of those things end up being fodder for your fantasies. And so there are things that you can find titillating or arousing that you would never want to happen in real life, but that the play acting of those things is actually fun. When you an example I can give you that has nothing to do with sex is when you think about things like professional sports, which in essence is grown men acting out like war. Like, that's where these games come from. You know, young men would learn these games as sort of a prelude or a substitute for battle. And someone might say, well, but you make two teams, and the two of you just try to beat each other. You know, in some cases, like literally knocking each other to the ground. That seems so barbaric. Like, why would you reenact war? And you're like, well, no, it's not the same because we're doing it under certain rules, and we're both we get to enjoy other elements that aren't so apparent if you don't participate, like teamwork and planning and strategy. And that at the end of the day, after you and other people on the field have mashed into each other a bunch of times, you end up, you know, shaking each other's hands and saying, that was a good game, I had a great time. And so it is difficult standing outside of it to have any idea of what would wire somebody to see an image of someone tied up, let's say, and say, oh, I don't understand why you would enjoy that, but you have to actually ask someone who enjoys that. I think there's this assumption that when you put an image out there of someone tied up, let's say, or someone being spanked, that that is somehow the source of that imagery, the people who created the video, but it's actually people have normal, very healthy people have interest in those types of things. What you're seeing in the art that is adult film is the manifestation of people's actual personal interests. It's just, people never look at it the same way if sex is involved. You know, I have seen somebody who was very uncomfortable with the idea of someone getting spanked or paddled in a movie. And this gentleman, actually, he watched a lot of Ultimate Fighting, kickboxing shows. Well, watching pugilists really just pound the heck out of each other.
But they don't have sex with each other afterwards.
But they don't have sex with each other. And because the sex element isn't there, a lot of people would say, well, that's okay. Well, but it is violence, but it's consensual violence between two people that are actually enjoying the interplay between them. So there's something that happens whenever something has to do with sex. And again, I think some of this is kind of cultural sex negative things out in the world. Sort of programming that some of us are still holding on to that make us treat anything involving sex with just more suspicion. And then, and sadly, instead of engaging people that you think have like a different interest, frequently what people do is they just kind of shy away from them and assume that that must be weird. and as an activist, I'm surprised at how often I talk to people who are just so relieved that they are not the only person that thinks it's fun to be tied up, or that they're not the only person that watches pornography and enjoys it, or that they're not the only person that, that would find any number of toys or gadgets or scenarios or role-playing or anything really enjoyable, and they feel like they're the only one. But I can tell you, they're not. I think the vast majority of people have many things that they don't do in their intimate play just because they're afraid of what their partner might think of them if they said, you know, I think it would be fun if we used a pair of, you know, padded handcuffs or something.
Or a pliers. You know, we're talking with Dane Ballard, and he is a actor. Or you don't say actor, you say model.
If it's in adult film work, yes, we say model.
But you're also an actor and a playwright.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know about your musical. You're currently writing a musical that's going to play in Seattle?
It's actually open right now in Seattle. It is a musical about performers, actually, theatrical performers of various stripes, circus performers, magicians, burlesque performers, ballet performers, a wide assortment of folks who've dedicated their life to performance. And we're in our second week.
What's
now.
The name of your play?
It's called The Grimaldis, a musical ghost story.
And you wrote the script, the book, the lyrics, which?
I wrote the entire script and some of the lyrics. The rest of the music was written by a dear friend of mine, John Woods, who is half of the musical comedy duo The Wet Spots. And they do some kind of irreverent, sex-positive comedy, actually, musical comedy. It's delightful, The Wet Spots.
So is there a crossover between your work in adult videos and your musical?
Well, I mean, I think in general, because I do both, I see a lot of parallels between how in theater we try and share moments with people or narratives with people. And in adult film work, that is exactly what we're doing as well, though it's usually specifically erotically charged. But in the writing of this musical, it actually, the idea of sex work, that is to say, you know, whether it be, you know, prostitution or being an erotic model and things like that, it actually comes into play in the biographies of the characters in this musical. For example, one of the characters is a young ballerina named Babette Grimaldi, and she, after she fell on hard times, became a dancer in the Folies Bergère, and ended up working also as a courtesan in order to maintain the lifestyle to which she had been accustomed to when she was a prima ballerina. And there is a little bit of that narrative throughout the history of the performing arts. The people who were performers oftentimes having some sort of side work that was maybe not entirely embraced culturally, though everybody knew it was happening, and sort of the bohemian set has frequently been the ones who provided those services, and the theatrical folks being among them, I think. But so it does, my life in adult film work definitely works its way into some of my other work, but also my other sex positive work does as well. We have, you know, characters in the show that are gay and closeted, and while the story is not about that, it is just a very real experience for a lot of people. So it is in just trying to create characters that are colorful and that have a lot of depth. At least for me, I always think about what types of messages I might be sending in regards to sex and sexuality and relationships with the characters that I'm making, and I want to make sure that they're not that they are very real and relatable, and that I'm not just playing on really tired stereotypes of what it means to be, you know, a closeted gay man, or what it would, you know, what it means to have a relationship with somebody of the same sex. I try and make sure that those stories, those narratives, are very real to human experience when I write a character.
Well, Dane Ballard, I appreciate all of your frankness and answering all of my questions. And if listeners would like to find out more about you, you have a website.
I do. For sex education, coaching and activism type work, you can just find me at www.daneballard.com. And for those interested in my work as a playwright, to learn more about the musical, The Grimaldis, a musical ghost story, one can go to www.thegrimaldisaredead.com.
And then you can also Google Bastian Darling and find a bunch of his...
Yeah, you sure can. I'm certain there are people from high school that have done that already.
Well, Dane Ballard, good luck with your musical, and thank you so much for being a guest on From the Bookshelf.
All right, thank you much.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at fromthebookshelf.com. I want to thank my guest, Dane Ballard. You can find him at daneballard.com. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.